morning, Lee.
This morning you're chatting about voltage rise and voltage drop.
Yep, that's what we're going to try and do, mate. So bear with me. So this is the part that's generally missed during the sales process and design of solar systems. As the days get longer and brighter, we see a lot of solar systems production being curtailed by voltage rise.
And for those listening in this morning, and they're probably unaware, what is a voltage drop and rise?
Okay, to answer that question, we need to understand what voltage and current is. Now, thinking of electricity like water, volts would be the pressure in a pipe, and current would be the water flowing through it. Pressure is a resistance to flow, so if we had a pipe connected to a tap, and the tap turned off, and 230 PSI on that pipe, what would happen, Lee, once I open that tap? Any ideas?
Anything to do with the pressure drop.
That's right. So the pressure would drop as I've removed the bulk of resistance to flow by opening that tap and letting the water run out. Now, if I shut the tap, the pressure would bounce back to where it started.
So the same thing happens in our homes, I guess, when we turn on, say, a large electrical load, such as our hot water cylinder, that would see that the electrical voltage drop, and I guess it'll spring back up and down when turned off again.
That's exactly right, Lee. Now, with solar, and once again using this water analogy, we're attempting to pump water back into the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to physically able to do this, we have to introduce or pump that water into that pipe at a higher pressure than what's in the pipe. So in this case, it would have to be higher than 230 PSI to make that happen.
Okay, the electrical voltage we would see in our homes, what does that look like?
So normally we see, hopefully we get to see it around 230 to 240 volts.
Okay.
The solar inverter, using our example, is our pump. So it has to introduce electricity into the grid at a higher voltage to force our excess solar energy or current back onto the grid.
Understood. This could be problematic though, can't it?
That's right, because we have this thing called electrical resistance or impedance, and the further we are away from the transformer on the street, or if we have small conductors between our switchboard and the transformer, the inverter has to keep pushing up that voltage to overcome the resistance and enable us to push our excess power onto the grid.
And this is, I guess, where all the problems start.
That's right. So at 253 volts, inverters start ramping down, and at 260 volts, they turn off, Lee. And we see homes, or some homes, with high voltage to begin with. So I regularly see homes with voltage starting at 250 volts. This means I only have 3 volts of headroom before that inverter wants to back off or shut down. And this could be as little as 2 kilowatt of export. And if you have a 5 kilowatt inverter, that is 3 kilowatt of energy you cannot sell. We may also see homes with, say, 230 volts, but they are so far away from transformers or the cables to interact with the network are too small, we might see 10 volts rise for every 2 kilowatt of export, which means we could technically install a 5 kilowatt inverter and export the majority of the power back, but we're exceeding the 2% voltage rise calcs as designers we're meant to stick to. Though people also are asking these days for bigger and bigger solar systems, but no, they've got electric cars in mind, batteries, high heating loads, etc. And these sites really struggle to have larger solar systems.
This talk really brings me back to the school days of science, Adrian. So it's going back into time, I know, but another major contributor is too much solar in one place, isn't it?
And this is on the rise. So as solar becomes more and more popular, we're seeing multiple systems trying to export their excess energy at the same time in the same place. If one inverter is pumping power back at, say, 245 volts, and the inverter next door is trying to push it out at 246 volts, they're all fighting each other to pump excess power to the grid, and the voltage just rises and higher till they start backing off or shut down.
Mm. So what can be done about it?
Well, the first thing is to identify, will the site have a voltage rise issue? How bad will it be? If you're getting a quote for solar, make sure you have a site visit and that whoever's doing it does either a fault loop impedance test or a voltage drop test to determine, you know, how bad the site's going to go or how it's going to perform.
Adrian, if we find a site that has these issues you just spoke about there, what could be done about it?
A blunt fix is to limit export. We might have a 5 kilowatt inverter, but we've calculated to contain voltage rise, we need to limit export back to 3.5 kilowatt. The solar can still hit 5 kilowatt to meet site loads, but it will never ever send any more back than 3.5 kilowatt to the grid. And we can do that easily these days with our smart inverters. Or we can put timers or demand control devices to switch on heavy loads to direct that excess power into hot water cylinders, heaters, air conditioning, etc., instead of sending it to the grid in the first place.
And can you program batteries to, say, only soak up excess energy instead of sending it back to the grid, which alleviates the issue?
Oh, we can. And it's a very popular thing these days, especially in rural areas. We can have that battery so it literally only ever starts soaking up excess energy when the voltage rises. In fact, we can do a number of things that address the issue, but the most important thing is to identify the issue at the very start. start of the design quotation process to either reset expectations or put in strategies to mitigate losses to voltage rise.
And you've got a little bit of a story there, something in South Australia.
Well, that's right. So everyone's really heard of this, but it's never been called voltage rise. So in South Australia, they have a much heavier saturation of solar than in Tasmania. In fact, their whole state was ran by solar panels the other day, which was quite exciting.
Wow, yeah.
The other side of the coin, though, is how they've got an ageing network that was never designed to deal with multiple sources of generation, and it's struggling to cope. And South Australian networks do not have the ability to just sink excess energy into other places, like, say, Tassie or Victoria, New South Wales does. So they've recently demanded the ability to turn off people's solar systems to prevent damage to the network when there is simply too much power coming in to distribute.
Okay, so that's in South Australia. So back home, Adrian, our Tassie network's being built around, say, multiple hydroelectric generators is much more robust than any mainland network, isn't it?
That's right. Our system is very, very tough. And once we have pumped hydro storage, we have an active energy sink to, say, dump excess energy to help grid control. Plus, TAS networks are really great to deal with and are very proactive with helping to fix voltage rise issues. In fact, we don't know how lucky we are. In saying that, our network is not immune to these issues, and as solar designers and installers, we must perform due diligence to every solar site we quote and design.
Do you think that'll come in the future?
Well, look, in the future, look, there's going to come a time when we will see more network limitations as solar becomes more and more prevalent. But right now we have very flexible design rules, and those that get in now will be more likely to get the solar system they want as opposed to being told what they can have.
All right, and we can pop into DMS Energy because you are the Tasmanian Installer of the Year for this year, aren't you?
That's right, mate, yep. And we're also the Northwest Coast leading solar designer for on-grid, off-grid and commercial solar systems.
Fantastic. Where do we find you, Adrian?
At 56 Sheffield Road in Sprayton, or you can give us a bell on 1300 502 599.
And you're online, dmsenergy.net.au. Find you on Facebook, and you do travel anywhere right across the Northwest Coast.
From Marawar to Launceston and beyond.
We'll talk more power savers again in 7 days' time. It's Adrian Luke from DMS Energy for Power Savers. Have a good day and a good week, mate.
Thanks again, Lee. See you, mate.